The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 14th chapter. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at a table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them wherever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless us on this day. As we enter into your word, we might know and love you more, that we might appreciate this week all that we've been given in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. You know what? I think Jesus was really stressed out during our reading today. Have you ever thought about Jesus being stressed out and anxious? Maybe a little bit short-tempered even? I mean, he kind of has told them what he's walking into, right? And he got, you know, unlike Jesus normally, he did that whole thing with Peter calling him Satan, right? Like, "Get behind me, Satan. I know what I've got to go, where I've got to go and what I got to do." And our reading kind of fools us today, because the reading that we had today, where he comes into Jerusalem, it actually comes before what we've been talking about in previous weeks. Because Jesus comes into Jerusalem with the big parade and everything, then he goes out and spends the night in Bethany, then he comes back in, and that's when he curses that fig tree. Remember that fig tree? Says, "Fig tree doesn't have any fruit. May you be gone." And then he goes into the temple, and these people are getting ready for this festival, because it's not just Passover, but the Feast of Unleavened Bread goes on for 7 days after Passover. So it's like an 8-day celebration. And everybody's supposed to come into Jerusalem from all over. And so they got this huge crowd. I mean, it's bigger than Easter breakfast. And they're all trying to get ready for this thing, right? And Jesus comes in there, and he's knocking over all the tables. Remember that? Where the money changers are. The money's going everywhere, and they're trying to get ready. I'm sure the church ladies would not be happy if I went down and wrecked Easter breakfast when they were getting ready, right? And then he starts teaching this weird stuff, because he leaves again, and then the disciples notice that fig tree did, in fact, die. You're like, whoa. And then he comes back into Jerusalem again. This is still before Passover. And he starts teaching. And his authority is questioned by the authorities. They say, "Who are you to keep doing all this?" He says, "Well, who's John the Baptist? By what authority did he teach?" And they don't want to tell him the answer. And they know that he's got a following. They're like, I don't know. Neither will I tell you why I have authority. And then he tells them that parable about the wicked vine dressers. Remember, that's really a criticism of the leaders of Israel, that they haven't taken care of the vineyard, which is Israel, right? And then they ask that question, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar?" Trying to get in trouble with Romans. And they ask about the resurrection. It's the big hot topic of the time. And then they ask him, "What's the first commandment of all?" And he answers correctly. And then he's looking at the offering and he says, "You know, all these big fancy people giving fancy amounts, they're not the most gracious ones. It's that widow just given her last couple pennies, right? And all that comes, he's teaching in the temple grounds where they're trying to get ready for this big week-long party. And all the authorities are there, and they're like thinking, man, this young troublemaker, these young guys always think they got it all figured out. He's causing a ruckus. We got to get this handled, right? But Jesus kind of knows what's going on. I mean, not in the sense, I don't think, that people often think of, you know, Jesus knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. I don't think that's right. Because we talk about Jesus being fully human and fully divine. You know, he has an idea because he's looked at the book of Isaiah and he knows the stories about the suffering servant. But he's sweating it out. And as he approaches Jerusalem, he knows he's got a following. He knows he's going to get opposition. He's starting to get short with Peter and the guys. He's, you know, cursing fig trees as he goes into town. He's knocking over tables. He's not a happy camper at this point. You ever thought about Jesus being stressed and anxious? I mean, we know later on this week on Maundy Thursday, we're going to read the story where Jesus is so pent up as a human being that he sweats blood. That's actually physically possible, but you have to be really stressed. That's how stressed he is. That's how anxious he's doing something he knows that is the thing to do. It's the right thing to do, but man, he's sweating bullets, sweating blood. And it's at this moment that we come to this reading where this woman comes to the upper room and she brings this big jar of oil or ointment. You know, now in that time they used oil for all sorts of things, because in a dry climate like that, you got to, you know, I've started doing that. I use beard oil and I've started putting on my wrinkles and it's taking care of that cray paper look on my hands. I'm getting old, you know, it's starting to happen. That's what they used that for a lot. But this is such an amount of oil that they're actually pointing, and this is expensive oil. It smells good. So this woman comes and gives Jesus a little aromatherapy, right? He's so stressed, right? But she's also, this is the kind of thing when you pour that much costly oil over, it might be something that you do when you anoint a new king. So this woman not only recognizes what Jesus is representing, who he is, she's ministering to him in his time of deep need. And Jesus responds by saying, you know, this woman's going to be remembered forever for the thing that she did today. This woman who ministered to Jesus. You know, in my internship, I was at a large church, and the youth leader there had her Master's of Divinity degree. She didn't become a pastor. Well, I was at a different, in a different expression of the faith, but she was the youth leader there, and she had a son that had got meningitis, and I went to visit him at the hospital, and she says, you know, sometimes pastors need somebody to pray with them too. You know? Sometimes we find it hard to pray too. Sometimes we're enduring something that's really difficult. Even Jesus had somebody ministering to him in his time of need as he's facing this great challenge before him. How about you? You know, last week we brought in Stephen ministers, right? And their whole purpose is to walk alongside somebody in the midst of a trial or a difficult period in their lives. Now, there's a lot of things, you know, people, oh, I can handle it. I don't want to bother anybody. Even Jesus had somebody ministering to him in his time of need. You saying you can handle more than Jesus? Sometimes in our pride, it keeps us from letting God bless us, from letting our brothers and sisters in Christ minister to us in our time of need. But that's what we're here for. Not just Pastor Dave and myself, and we come alongside somebody in a time of crisis or whatever, but if you have ongoing need, you know, if you're going through a difficult period in your life, that's where we bring in Stephen ministers. That's what we're here for, to be there for you. To walk alongside you, maybe pray prayers that you find it hard to pray. Because you're, Lord, I don't understand why this is happening right now. I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. Are you having a difficult time in your life? Maybe right now. Are you going through something? Maybe you're going through a phase. Maybe it's, you know, it's part of normal life, you know. You had a job change or a housing change or something like that. And it's just, you know, things are just unsettling. I urge you to share that with a brother or sister in Christ. Raise your hand. Say, Pastor, can I sit with you? Raise your hand and say, you know, Pastor, could I have a Stephen minister? You don't have to go it alone. Even Jesus allowed somebody to minister to him. Shouldn't you? The Lord wants to bless us. And the Lord has given us this church, this community of faith, that we might be a support to one another, that we might be an encouragement to one another in seasons of difficulty, that we might be strengthened in our commitment to God and whatever it is that we have to deal with. You're not alone. Thank God.